Marcos, come take this microphone away from me. I'll let you wrestle me for it. Hallelujah. And share with us from your heart whatever you want. Introduce your wife, introduce your kids, whatever. Amen. God love you. And we do too.
Praise God. Thank you. And my wife's. Praise God. Well, it's a privilege to be with you. We honor Pastor Calvin and Barbara. Amen. Let's all give them a hand, if you would. Amen. For their love, for their service. And I was thinking about, before we came here, I was thinking about the evening we arrived, July 31st, 1994. And then we went down into Mexico on the 1st of January. We had arrived. We had come with $20 in our pocket and a credit card. They probably thought, what in the world did we do allowing them to come here? But they were such a blessing to us and helped us and put up with us. And we're still in fellowship together. Amen. They allowed us to access their food bank. When we moved down to Mexico the first 12 days, we had spaghetti for lunch and dinner for the first 12 days. Amen. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven because I was in the will of God and I loved spaghetti. Amen. But we thank God. And we love your pastors and we love you too. Don't know you very well, not all of you, but we love you too. It's good to be here. Amen. Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
Amen. God is doing good things. We also want to thank you for your partnership. Month after month, we receive a check in the mail towards our ministry, Global Impact Ministries, and it's scriptural to come back and tell you what God is doing, because we know Paul did that. He went back to Antioch and shared with them what God was doing, and then when he went to Jerusalem, he shared with them what God was doing, and I'd have you to know that God is doing good things. Hallelujah. We have to be very careful about this, because I could get started and then we won't have time to preach the word. But tremendous things are happening. In February, I was in India and we did two miracle crusades. And actually, each of these crusades are covered with the newsletters they have back there on the bulletin board, one for each. But it was one trip, two newsletters for one trip, because so much happened. And not only that, we take less time to talk about what God's doing now in our newsletters, because the Lord really put it in our hearts to also teach in our newsletters. So thus we break up the newsletter a little bit. But anyway, because of the situation in India, there's a lot of missionaries who are getting blacklisted, kicked out of the country. People who are trying to get into the nation, they're not being given visas. Our director has decided to kind of leave the city a little bit and go to the smaller areas. And that's good, because a lot of the evangelists and stuff who go to India don't go to the smaller areas anyway. So we like to go to the smaller areas. And so we went to two different locations. Each of them had a population of about 10,000, but they were also surrounded by 40 or 50 villages. And we advertise in all of those villages. And the place where we go is kind of a hub to those other areas. People come into the town, to the market, to shop, and so forth and so on. And between the two locations, we had, four-night crusade each, we had more than 7,200 decisions for Christ. Amen. 7,200. But it was actually more than that. After I was home for a while, I received a phone call from our director. He said, "The pastors are calling me, Brother Mark, and they're telling me that as they go do their business, as they go run their errands in the community, people are approaching them and saying, 'Listen, we didn't attend the crusade, but we were listening from our house, and when we prayed to receive Jesus Christ.'" Amen. They said everywhere we go, people are talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. That makes me happy. God is doing tremendous things. First place we went to, the first site, four different paralyzed people were healed. Four. One lady was carried to the meeting, left walking. Hallelujah. That's a mighty God we serve. Amen. One young man, I'll never forget him, because he's a good-looking guy, deaf for 10 years. And I was praying with him. It looked to me as if nothing was happening. And I even felt impressed to the Lord. And I told him before I did it, so he wouldn't be shocked, to spit in my hand and put that saliva in his ears. Jesus did that on two or three occasions. Did you know that? Would you come receive ministry if the guy said, I'm going to spit on you? Huh? See, Americans are a little weird. Amen. They're scared of everything. Scared of every germ, yet they're still sick. Come on now. Amen. Some people in the name of health are sicker than other people because they're afraid of sickness. Think about it. So anyway, he was, sure, why not? So I did it. Still seemed like nothing happened. He would say, yeah, something's happening, but we'd test him and to our side, we were not satisfied, left. But that's why we walk by faith, not by sight. Are you listening to me? Went to the next location after the crusade was over. It's about 11 o'clock at night, and we have to drive at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm thinking, they start coming on the platform, and I was like, Sagar, that's our director. I didn't want this to happen. We got to leave in a few hours. Because once you start praying for a lot of people. But I'm so glad I said, okay, let's do this. Because there's a precious woman there, 35 years old, born deaf. Hasn't heard a sound in her life. Amen. Right there, I'm surrounded. There's a big crowd of people all around me. Minister to her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fighting thoughts. Why? Because nothing happened, it looked like to me, the last guy. You know, the guy with put the saliva in his ears. But guess what? Instantly, her ears opened up. Big smile. Everyone around is laughing. It was a beautiful thing. 35 years, born deaf, now hearing. Hallelujah. Then we get home, and I get a WhatsApp message. How many know what WhatsApp is? It's really big in Asia. WhatsApp. And I get a message from Sagar, director. A guy deaf for 10 years. He is now hearing. I thought, I wonder if that's the same guy. I had a picture of him. I WhatsApped the picture to Sagar. I said, send that to the pastors. Confirm if this is the man. And sure enough, it was the man. He's completely healed by the power of Jesus. Amen. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. I said, what a beautiful thing. Amen. Amen. Lady with lung cancer, healed by the power of God. Others, a guy came drunk. He received Christ, was set free, and is now walking with the Lord. Just wonderful things. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That was in February. I was just in India again, in the state of Nagaland, different place, ministering to Bible school students and did an unannounced, unadvertised, unplanned, I had suggested it the day before, outreach. We went to a part near an intersection on it, got a plot of land where they didn't even get permission to do it. The owner of the land drove by and she was like, hey, what are you doing? And Kenny Kiso, they got one of my hosts. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. We didn't know. We're just going to be here for tonight. Can we do it? Okay, yeah. So anyway, 17 Bible school students, they went out in the street beckoning the people to come. They're playing music. Over 200 people came, unadvertised. No flyers, unplanned meeting. Over 200 people came. Two or three Bible school students in between the songs that they were singing gave a personal testimony. Then I preached a 10, 15-minute message. And about 126 people came forward to receive Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. But we wanted to be real conservative about it, though, and said about 60 of them were first-timers. 60 received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. There was a young boy there, young boy, Muslim boy. He had a tumor in his abdomen the size of his fist for 10 years. Found out after the fact that he had been receiving blood transfusion and had almost died 2 or 3 months before. Are you listening to me? And Jesus healed him. The tumor disappeared. He went home to go tell his mama, his Muslim mama, and she came to the meeting. I mean, the meeting's over. But we're still there. She came to the meeting weeping, crying. What happened? What happened? They lift up his, Kenny, lift up his shirt. Look, mama, look. And they can't find the tumor. It's gone. Just gone. Right on the spot, she received Jesus Christ, Muslim woman. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And then this Hindu woman, pain all over her forehead. I said, what are you doing here? She said, well, I came for prayer. I have sicknesses. I said, do you see what just happened? You received Jesus, he'll heal you too. So she prayed at the same time. We led a Muslim and a Hindu to receive Jesus right at the same time. And then the Hindu lady started getting healed right on the spot without even the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. These things are happening. They're happening. I'm very happy about it. Amen. The students, they have an outreach week, or a weekly outreach every Tuesday. I'm teaching them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That, what I just shared with you, happened on Thursday. And every Tuesday they go out. Well, I was teaching them on the kingdom of God and healing the sick. And they went out doing what they always do. And two of them ministered to a man. He had stiff arms, couldn't move his arms. And he's hunched over like this. By the time they were done with him, he was standing up, moving his arms. Standing up, moving his arms. That's the power of the gospel. Amen. The gospel is more powerful than anything. I'm going to say it again. The gospel is more powerful than anything you can think of. Any little sickness, any little demon that's defeated, anything. The gospel is more powerful. And our job is to preach it. And when we preach it, things happen. Amen. Where we go, there's places you'll drive by You'll pass them as you're going to the community you're going to preach, and there's idols taller than this room. Are you listening to me? People living in poverty and darkness. What's the solution? Preaching the gospel. Nothing else. Preaching the gospel. Do we pray? Absolutely. But the solution is preaching the gospel. That's what Jesus said to do. Amen. And our spiritual armor, there's one thing that's offensive, the sword. The spoken word of God. That's the only thing that will destroy the kingdom of darkness, is preaching the gospel. Amen. Do you know there's not one place in the New Testament where it says, pray that they'll come? Not one. You can't find one scripture in the entire New Testament that says, pray that the people will come to your church. Not one. You can't find it. Bible says, be vigilant in prayer. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. We're to pray, 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 pray. I'm a man of prayer. But you still can't find one verse that says, pray that they come. You still have to go and preach. Getting ahead of myself here, so I guess we might as well read the verse of scripture. Go to Matthew 10. I'm going to say it again. There is not one verse of scripture. Not one. Everyone say not one. Where it says, pray that they come. You can't find one. But you do see, Mark 16, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You also see Matthew 28, where it says, go, make disciples of all nations. Amen. And then you see in Luke 24, where Jesus said, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. And then you see also Matthew 24, 14, where Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world unto every ethnic group with evidence. And then the end will come. Preach, 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 preach. Amen. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is likened unto a man as if a man would sow seed into a ground. Amen. So, and some of it goes under the wayside, some of it into the rocky soil, and some of it into thorny ground, and some of it into nice, fertile soil that's plowed up and ready. And that's the part that bears fruit. But notice in all of it, it's sowing the word. We've got to sow the word. Are you here with me? You gone home. Amen. So, hallelujah. I was going to lead up to this verse, but I guess we'll just start right here, Matthew chapters 10. Before we read it, let me just say this. Ephesians 4:7 says, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Ephesians 4:7. Then the next verse says, as it is written, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of men. Did you just say, to each one of us, grace was... What's he talking about there? He's literally talking about each of us can have the grace of an apostle imparted to us as we sit underneath an apostle. Every one of us can have the grace of an evangelist imparted into us as we sit under an evangelist. Every one of us can have the grace of a pastor imparted into us as we sit under a pastor. That doesn't mean you become a pastor. Doesn't mean you become an apostle. Doesn't mean you become a prophet or an evangelist. Because it says, notice this, and he gave some, not all, he gave some to be apostles. But to each of us, grace is given. In other words, Every believer can and ought to be apostolic, even though they're not an apostle, because they sit under apostles. Amen. Every believer ought to be pastoral. Every believer ought to be evangelistic. Every believer ought to be prophetic. Every believer ought to be able to teach a little bit. Amen. Why? We sit under these ministries. And as so the highest purpose of a ministry is not just to minister to you, but to reproduce their gift in you. And so as you honor a gift that stands in this place, or not just in this place, sometimes we get religious about it, wherever you're at, in someone's living room, anywhere you're at, wherever you're at, if you will honor the gift that God has put in Pastor Calvin, honor the gift that's in Sister Barbara, honor the gift of me, honor not me personally, that God has put in me, if you honor that, as you receive that, it's imparted and you can walk it to some degree in the level of that same anointing that person walks in. That's God's calling. That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. God wants you to flow in the supernatural. Did you hear me? He wants you to flow in the supernatural. Now, verse 7 of Matthew 10. Are you there? Let me pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for these beautiful people. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the destiny you have for it. We thank you that your plans and purposes shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7, Matthew 10. Notice, and as you go, preach. There it is again. Saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, keep your finger here. I want you to see something else real quick. I'm telling you, we need more preachers. Amen. And when I say preachers, I think this verse will kind of clarify what I mean by preachers. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Paul here is praying, he's asking for prayer from the church of Ephesus, okay? And he says, verse 18 says, praying always. Then verse 19, he says, and for me. Everyone say, and for me. Notice this, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Most of the time, at least in the people I'm associated with, when they think of this, they're thinking of pray for your pastors in the pulpits every Sunday. Well, that's true. We want our pastors in all our pulpits to have utterance and to speak boldly when they stand in the pulpit. But I want you to notice from where Paul is writing this. Look at the next verse. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In other words, we are to be praying for ourselves, for our leaders, for each other, that utterance may be given to us and that we may open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, no matter where we're at, not just when we're in the pulpit. If it's just when we're in the pulpit, if you're not careful, you get into a performance mentality. When's the last time you preached the gospel? When's the last time you shared Christ with somebody? Amen. When's the last time? The Dead Sea is dead because it receives water. It does not release it. Nothing's flowing out. You can't, if you don't exhale, you die. You have to exhale what you inhale. If you don't, you die. When's the last time you preached the gospel? Do you have a gospel to give to somebody? Hallelujah. You know why I've seen so many miracles? You want to know why? I preach. 90%, if not 95, 98% of the miracles I've seen have been a result of proclaiming the gospel. Not walking up to strangers and say, can I pray for you? Nope. 98% of the miracles we've seen have been a result of proclaiming the gospel. And society will try to shut you up. Why? Because they are under the influence of the God of this age. And the God of this age knows if Christ is shared, bondages are broken. And therefore, he will manipulate people to try to shut you up. Even pass laws to say it's illegal. You can't do it here. It's happening right now in Nepal. In fact, I need to contact them and see, you know, what has happened in this past election. They recently became a democracy, but they've also tried to pass some laws to try to shut us up, but they're too late. Amen. A couple years ago, I was part of a larger outreach hitting Nepal, 8 cities in 2 weeks, 8 cities, 8 evangelists. with a team, with every evangelist. In my city, where I went, in the night meetings alone, we had almost 19,000 people come to Christ. 19,000, not including those watching by television live on two nights, 500,000 viewing audience potentially. And we know they were watching because the second night of the meeting, someone came and said, I was healed last night watching on television. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And they were in the streets. The teams were in the streets in our city. When you combine the street ministry and the night crusade, there was about 32,000 salvations. We were one of eight cities. Yes. The final crusade was just a one-day event. The others were 4 or 5 days. One-day event. I got to give a testimony at it. And then the ringleader of this huge two-week outreach preached to an audience of, I don't know, between 15 and 20,000 people. And it was on live television with a potential viewing audience of 2 to 3 million people. And then the following night, recorded on prime time to the same, yeah. Amen. Are you listening to me? Harvest of souls. Over 125,000 estimated people came to Christ in 2 weeks in the little nation of Nepal. Well, I was just there. And found out, I mean, crazy things are happening. If you get caught preaching now, if you get caught preaching, you're in jail for three. If you get caught trying to convert somebody, you go to jail for three years. Well, it's too late. We already got in there. And now it's just spreading. I just saw a video. Someone posted a video. And 3 years. And if they convert, 6 years. So if you try, you get three. If you're successful, you get six. Amen. So I just saw a video, someone posted it, of a guy's church full. It's like a big Y. All of these Nepalis worshiping Jesus. The church is 1 year old and they have 29 daughter churches already. You can't stop the move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But this is how crazy it is. Out in the western side of Nepal, this woman came, demon-possessed. This is going to blow your mind. You're demon-possessed. She went to church trying to get help. They got her set free. She was completely set free. Those guys were, the leader who cast the devil out of her got put in jail, accused of feeding her human feces. Yeah, yeah. She went to the court and said, what are you talking about? I went to them for help. I have been set free. I was possessed. Now I'm set free. They dismissed her testimony and believed these other people. They were set up. They're in jail today for casting the devil out of a woman, getting her free. That's what happens in nations where the devil has had full reign. But what is the solution? Preach the gospel. Are you here? You go home. Amen. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to have a good time. No, he has anointed me just to pray. No, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And I'm telling you right now, when people in this church and people in other churches of Douglas start rising up, realizing what their destiny is, what their call is, and they go to their neighbors and they preach the gospel, you will see transformation. And you will not see transformation until you preach the gospel. Have a dear friend of ours. We see him every once in a while because he travels to more nations than I do. He's this short, this high, and his name's Muhammad, Talib Muhammad. You have to really focus when he talks to you because his accent is so strong and he's so quiet. And he just goes everywhere preaching. The guy's a wild man. He's a little guy, wild man. He was in Afghanistan. They gave him, you ready for this? His name's Muhammad. He's supposed to try to bring this gift home. The church there that he ministered for, they gave him an AK-47 as an offering. Afghanistan, you know, Afghanistan, where they're bombing everybody. Yeah, and his name's Muhammad. He's going to try to bring an AK-47 home from Afghanistan with the name Muhammad. I don't think so. He's a wild man. Well, here's this church he preached at many times. He'd preached at this church many times in the States. California, Texas, I don't know. And God gave him a word for this church. He's there again. They're expecting his usual 30, 45-minute sermon. He stands up. This is what he said. Evangelize or die. That was it. He went and sat down. Pastor's like, that's it? Yeah, that's it. Pastor was so angry at him. You got to understand, this is a little Talib Muhammad. He was so angry at him. He said, "You'll never come back to my church ever again." A couple years later, Talib gets a phone call from this pastor. "I want you to come preach in my church." No, I'm sorry. I'm not coming. "Well, I need you to come. I repented. The Lord spoke to me. I repented." Talib wouldn't come. There's thousands, I think. Maybe it's at least hundreds and hundreds. It mightily grew. Like overnight, it was like, whoosh, what happened? They caught the vision. "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What is it? At hand means within hand's reach. Yeah, it's that close. There's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of heaven. And you're in one of them right now. There's no in between. It's like being pregnant. You either are or you're not. It's like being married. You either are or you aren't. Are you born again? You either are or you're not. Amen. I hope I am. Well, no. Can you imagine going up to someone? "Are you married?" "I sure hope so." No. You either are married or you're not married. Even if you have marital problems, you might be separated. You're still either married or not. Amen. And when you're born again, you might even be walking with the Lord, but you know you've been born again. You either are or you're not. Amen. Glory to God. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of heaven. Most are in the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of heaven's right here within hand's reach. It's near. How do you get in? And believe the gospel. That's what Jesus said in Mark. Repent and believe the gospel. What does that mean? An inward change of mind, feeling, and turning from your ways, Christ. Turning from your way of trying to get saved, Christ. Turning from your good deeds to Christ. Turning from your sin to Christ. Coming to Christ. It's Christ we unbended. Not necessarily literal knee, but a submission to Jesus. Can you say amen? Every single person in this room, if you're born again, you can be used. If you'll just yield your, "Hey, Lord, here I'm up." Doesn't matter. You think, well, you just don't know my life, bro. You don't know the problems I have. You don't know the problems I have. Huh? You don't know. You're not there. Did you hear me? I don't advertise them. Why? Because I have a sure foundation of God's word. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. In all of these things, we're more than conquerors. It's like T.L. Osborne, after his wife died. I don't know if you know who T.L., but he's just preached the gospel all over the world. His wife was his life. I mean, they did everything together. She was his crusade director. She's the one who set up and organized the meetings. And he said, after she died, well, I had a choice. I could sit in the corner and cry, have a pity party all day, or I could get up and go help people. I decided to get up and go help people. Every single person in this room, you can get up and go help people. My wife, she wanted to go on this last trip. I went to India and Nepal, and there was a circumstance that we were facing, and we just felt like it was best for her not to go. She wanted to go. She was kind of devastated about it. But that didn't stop her. She started a street ministry. While I'm in India, she starts going downtown Tulsa to the homeless and praying for the sick and giving, cooking for them and feeding them. She did that without me. She's down there by herself once preaching to men, downtown homeless men, without me. Everyone in this room can do something. You'll be more effective as you know what the plan of God is and how to go about it. But everyone in this room, what is the will of God for you? It's right here, Matthew 10, verse 7. "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And look at the next verse. Oh, hallelujah. Let this get inside. Are you here? Heal the sick. That's a command. Notice it didn't say pray for God to heal the sick. Whoa. He said, you go heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Haven't done that yet. Looking for the opportunity. Cast out demons. And I'll read the next part in a minute. Let me tell you how powerful this gospel is. When just mixed with a little simple faith. Are you here? I might have made you angry. I don't know. But see, it's my job to either make you mad or glad or sad. One of the three. Amen. In other words, to move you from where you're at to somewhere else. Otherwise, I haven't done my job. Amen. Mad, sad, or glad. Mad, sad, or glad. Yeah, hopefully glad. Amen. Sometimes it's mad first, then sad, then glad. But as long as it ends on glad, it's good. Tell you, some of the guys some people almost worship nowadays. You know, they're now in heaven. Those are the very ones that would be rejected out of our churches today. They were saying about Smith Wigglesworth, one moment he'd make you so angry. And the next thing, 10 minutes later, everyone's rejoicing. Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And therefore, since His thoughts are not our thoughts, sometimes His thoughts are very offensive to us because we're ruled by our flesh. I was thinking about this morning. There's this saying that I really hate. And it's the phrase, haters are going to hate. Who made that up? Haters are going to hate. You know who made it up? The devil. You know why? Because it's always used in context when I tell you the truth in love. Oh, don't hate on me. Don't be a hater when I'm telling you the truth. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. He doesn't say, as many as I hate, I rebuke and chasten. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke. Speak the truth in love. Amen. See? Amen? Does that make sense? See, the devil will twist things and produce a mindset in people's lives that completely damages them from fulfilling their destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. So anyway, back to India. I was in a place called, I said the other night, do you remember? No, India. Tangaturu, India. Besides the churches that were planted, got home about a month, 3 weeks after I was there, found out after our four-night cruise that 75 churches in the area had minimally doubled, tripled, or quadrupled. But at that cruise, as normally as our, pretty much at all our crusades, we lay hands on people after we dismiss usually, because if we announce it, we could end up laying hands on how many people are there. If there's 5,000 people there, we could end up laying hands on all of them. And I don't like to just lay hands on them. I want to sometimes interview them so I can really be more effective. So we pray a mass prayer. So anyway, we invite, and we're also teaching. I do this on purpose in order to teach them. Listen carefully. So 100, 200 people will come forward for healing, maybe more than that. And I'll teach them. Most of these people have already received Christ. Like that night, they've just received Christ. And I say, so how many of you are believers? Hands will go up. I say, oh, wonderful, wonderful. Look at your hands. Keep it real. These are simple people. Look at their hands. I say, Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How many of you are believers? Lift up your hand. Look at your hands again. Jesus said, you will lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? Because he is the healer and he now lives inside of you. And when you lay hands on the sick, it's the healing power of Christ who will flow out of your hand into them if they'll receive it. And then I always say, and so that means from now on, you can lay hands on the sick, your neighbors, your family members, your people you work with. God wants to use you. These are brand new Christians I'm talking to. But tonight, we're going to begin on yourself. If you have a deaf ear, put your finger in your ear. If you have a bad heart, put your hand on your heart. If you have a bad knee, put your hand on your knee. Get ready for Jesus to heal you. Amen. Well, there's a lady there. As far as we know, she just received Jesus. She heard what I said. She heard me quote Jesus. And she went home to her husband who was paralyzed in one side of his body. Laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. Two or three days later, he got out of bed healed. Do you hear me? An evangelist didn't lay hands on him. A pastor didn't lay hands on him. I'm sure she didn't even pray for 2 hours over him. She did what we did. She laid hands on him, prayed a simple prayer. And the power of God went into him. The key is believing. He's in you. The gospel is real. How many believe it? Amen. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. This is your inheritance. Cast out demons. How can I do that, Brother Mark? Because of the next thing he says. Freely you have received, freely give. It's not something you earned. It's something you freely received. He gave you authority. He authorized you. You have authority. Everyone say, I have authority to heal. It's yours. Hallelujah. I'm serious. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful privilege. Usually on my trips, something will happen. And I'll say, if nothing else ever happened on this trip, and I came, flew, whatever, 18, 19, 20 hours in the air just to get to this place. Well, it's usually a lot more than that because then you got the driving and all that. Just to get to this one person who got healed, it's worth it all. See that smile. To see that changed life. There's nothing like it. It's real. This last time in Nagaland. We did that unannounced, unplanned meeting. Well, after that, we went to a remote area in another state, in a village, very remote, spread out. It was where the tea gardens are, where the British established, you know, the tea. I always joke with the pastors, not always, but sometimes I joke with the pastors I minister to. I said, we, United States, we won our independence in 1776. You guys didn't until 1947 or 48. Thus, we got delivered from the influence and control of tea, and we drink coffee instead. Hallelujah. Amen. They all laugh. But anyway, I know it wasn't that funny for you, but they think it's funny. Anyway, we go, these tea gardens. So the population of this remote area is spread out, I think, like 10, 12 kilometers, 3,000 people. On the second night of this two-night meeting, over 750 people, both nights. First night, one person who was born deaf and mute. Did you hear me? Born. Never heard a sound in their life. Never uttered a word. Never uttered a sound. And there she is saying, Mama, repeating me, Mama, Papa, Amen. And I see her when they're worshiping God around at everybody because she's hearing sound. She's hearing worship for the first time. Amen. Second guy on the second night. Also born, I don't know for sure if he was deaf. I think he was, but I know this. He was born mute or dumb. So what? His uncle's with him on the platform said, well, what's his name? He said, we didn't just all called him dumb because he never spoke. That's what he's been called his entire life, dumb. So I looked at him. I said, don't you ever call him dumb. Give him a name. I said, maybe call him miracle. Amen. It's beautiful. Everyone say, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Now, here's food for thought. You got to be careful with this in America, I know. But why is it when someone's sick and they need prayer for healing, we don't go and pray about it to see, well, should I lay hands on them? Should I try to minister healing to them or not? No, we minister healing to them because the Bible says to heal the sick. And the Bible says that it's God's will for them to be healed. Jesus paid the price. Then why do we get so spiritual about the dead? Because in the same paragraph, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead. There are places in this world where there literally hundreds are being raised from the dead. Huh? Why? Yet they'll try to raise the dead, and a lot of times they fail, but they're still getting the dead raised. Amen? Aren't you glad that after you've prayed for someone, they did not get healed, that you didn't stop praying for the sick? I haven't seen every single person healed that I've laid hands on. It doesn't stop me. And thus, we see a lot of healings. Why? Because God, it's His delight. Can you say amen? Now, let's close with this thought. Matthew 6, are you here? Are you happy? Amen. Let us invade Douglas, the gospel of. Let's invade every village of it. Let's invade all the communities near Douglas. I saw this recently, and I'll pass it unto you. I hope it blesses you. Matthew 6, verse 6. That's what Jesus said here. Now, this is in the context of keeping our motives pure, not doing things to be seen of people. He is not preaching against corporate prayer meetings, public prayer meetings. Amen. We see throughout the scripture the church praying together corporately, all right? But he's talking about us, you as an individual, what you should do, all right? Matthew 6, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. See what he said there? I like it the way it's worded in the New King James. And I like other translations, but I always come back to the New King James because it's a word-by-word translation, not a thought-by-thought. With a thought-by-thought translation, a lot of times you have some really good thoughts, but sometimes what's in the translator's mind comes through instead of that. And this is why word-by-word I prefer. I always come back to it. Amen. I read other translations for different perspectives, maybe to jar my thinking a little bit, but I still come back to the word-by-word translation. Notice what he says here. Shut your door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Everyone say, the secret place. Where is the Father? He's in the secret place. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you spend time in that personal, devotional time alone with your Father in prayer. You begin to dwell with Him in the secret place. And when you do so, His shadow begins to overshadow you. And therefore, your shadow becomes His. To such a degree, this is our plan, this is our goal. Like Peter, Acts 5, they got within His shadow. And every single person from all over Judea, not just Jerusalem, they were coming from all the surrounding communities. They got within Peter's shadow on that day. Maybe it was a few days. We don't know how long it lasted. It had because the word spread. So we don't know if this lasted for a week, 2 weeks. We don't know. But we do know that every single person for a period of time who got in Peter's shadow found themselves not just in the shadow of Peter, but in the shadow of Almighty. And they were. I believe this is all of our destiny. How do we do it? When you pray, go into your room, shut the door behind you, and be with your Father who's there waiting for you in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place. Hear it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. They shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you keep reading the rest of that chapter in Psalm 91, what happens? Diseases go. Amen. The angels of God are all around you, and you walk in victory and dominion. But then you bring it over into the new covenant. Not only are you protected, it begins to influence the places where you go. We're influencers. I challenge you to lay your hand, share the gospel, and lay your hands on a sick person somewhere outside this facility very soon. Maybe if you go out to eat. I'm telling you, you don't have to go very far anywhere to find someone who's sick. There's always someone in need somewhere. If we go with not a mentality, like, you know, turn or burn mentality, but we go with, oh, there's compassion, there's love. Jesus loves you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to save you mentality. It's amazing what'll happen. You say amen? Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. I have no idea how long you usually go, but I really restrained myself because I could go for another hour or two. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, the Lord is good. That incident, man, of that boy, that abdomen, that was exciting to me. But to see the impact it had on his mind made my heart. Amen. And there's a lot of people like that boy in Douglas, in Agua Prieta, wherever you live, all around us, that all over. But it would have never happened if we hadn't gone and said, hey, we're going to preach the gospel. That's what happened. Yeah. I never even laid hands on the kid. I think maybe one of the students did. I don't know, because I asked him to lay hands on the people, so that he probably had hands laid on them, but what initiated it? The gospel of Christ. I challenge you. It's amazing to me. I love. See, I'm anointed to preach the gospel, but I tell you, there's nothing like a person who's not an evangelist out with people sharing their testimony. There's something about, there's an added power to it that an evangelist cannot. I don't know why. Maybe it's because people look at us as just professional preachers. I don't know. But there's something about a guy who's a plumber, who's so excited about Jesus, he can't keep his mouth shut. There's something about it. We were coming home from Mexico, Ruben and Francisco and I, we were in Mexico Friday and Saturday, and we came back, and Ruben was sharing with me. He says, oh, brother, there's a guy in the line at the border who's one of the window washers. I gave him a chick track. I don't know how many times did you talk to him before that? Many times. I had talked to this guy many times trying to lead him to Christ, and I gave him a chick track, and I said, you need to try to go to that church. And one day I'm driving through, and this guy comes, and he's all lit up, and he says, Ruben, I read that track. I received Jesus. He didn't tell me that like that. I'm preaching. But guess what? After he told me that, 5 minutes later, here he comes. Here comes the window washer. And when he saw Ruben, his face lit up. He says, Ruben, brother, hermano, ¿cómo está? Full of joy, full of life. Why? Jesus transformed him. Happened because Ruben wouldn't give up on him and preach the gospel to him. And now that guy, I can pretty much tell he's a preaching machine. He got lit up by the gospel. Amen. You know, that's how it happens. Amen. I tell you, you got a testimony that I cannot duplicate. You have a testimony I could. It's amazing to me. If you were to put me in a room with the people you work with, and to put you in the room with the people you work with, and you share your testimony, and I share my testimony, guess who they would receive first? Yours. You can reach people I will never reach. You can do it. You have to believe you can. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to do a mighty work in the hearts and lives of these beautiful people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give you praise. I give you glory. Oh, do a mighty work. Do a mighty work in each of us, Lord. Do a mighty work in my heart, Lord. I thank you for what you've been doing inside of me in recent days, recent months. But Lord, I pray it increases. I pray it increases. In Jesus' name. In Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to share. I know. I know it's getting late. I know that food is waiting for you. But hey, this is the Lord's day. Amen. My wife, like I said, she started going downtown. For the past year, every time we'd see someone, you know, at a gas station holding up a cardboard, help wanted or whatever, heart just began to stir within her. So it's been kind of in her for about a year, and she just couldn't take it anymore. And while I'm in India, she goes to downtown Tulsa, to the streets. I just in a matter of a couple of weeks, this guy, his name's Danny, he's a believer. He knows the word. Made some stupid choices, so he's on the street. Looked at us, he said, you know, just a few days ago, I was praying that God would send me angels to help me, to guide me. And I believe you too are the answer to that prayer. Think about it. There's another lady, her name's Two Feather. She's a Native American. She's also known as Jacqueline. She's not a believer. She knows Jesus died for her. She's lived on the streets for 20 years. Suffers with paranoia. Hides under the bushes. We went to her. We found her. Kept finding her. She found her. Gave her a muffin. And then she brings me to her. Listen, Jacqueline, do you believe that Jesus rose again? That he died for you? Yeah, I believe he died for me. Do you believe he rose again? No, I'm not so sure because I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him. Well, I take out my Bible. I said, Jacqueline, 1 Corinthians 15, the greatest persecutor of the church up to that day, his name was Saul. He didn't believe either. And then I read what Saul said. He appeared to so-and-so. He appeared to this guy. Then he appeared to this guy. And then he appeared to these three over here. Then he appeared to over 500 people at once. And then last of all, he appeared to me. And then that man, Saul, became the great apostle Paul. He wrote half the New Testament. Then there's Thomas, I said. He said, I won't believe unless I see him, unless I put my fingers in his holes, the wounds of his hands. And Jesus appeared to him. And he says, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, you believe because you see me, but blessed is those who believe who haven't seen. I said, Jesus died for you. He went to hell for you. And he rose again for you. Do you believe? Eyes filled with tears. He says, I believe. And she received Jesus right there. Victoria goes about maybe a week, two later and finds Two Feather. And she says, I don't know what's happening, Victoria, but I don't know how to. No, she doesn't know the Bible. Understand? She says, I don't know how to describe it. All I can say is the old me is dying and the new me is coming alive. People are coming to me for spice. And I say, I have to tell them, I don't do that anymore. I don't do drugs anymore. I don't do alcohol anymore. What happened? Somebody went, told her gospel. Somebody went and loved her. Everybody in this room can do that. Amen. I said, everybody can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, everybody. I mean, there's another man, Anaste. This guy loves Jesus, but he committed a few felonies more than 7 years ago. Got out of jail in 2010, has not been able to get housing ever since. He's on the street. Had a broken wrist from August onward. We laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. He took his brace off, no longer wears it. Twists his hand off. Jesus said, you go preach the kingdom of heaven and heal the sick. Everyone in this room can do it. And once you do it, you will be lit up. You won't be the same again. You'll be just like Todd White on YouTube. Everywhere you go. Have you heard of so-and-so? Whatever your name is. Man, he's a preaching machine. Well, a guy by the name of Todd White, I guess his name, his face is back there on the charisma. He really doesn't look like that. That's all the photoshopping stuff. But if a guy who's addicted to crack for 35 years can now become a preaching machine and seeing the sick healed on the streets everywhere he goes, everybody in this room can do that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. All right. If you're here today and you say, Brother Mark, the Holy Ghost is using you to speak to me right now. And I want the fire in me to reach soul and to heal the sick. I want to commit myself. I'm going to stir myself up to look for opportunities to share Christ with. Lift up your hand. Anybody here like that? I want to pray for you. If you would come down here. I know, you're probably usually done by now. I'm sorry, children's workers. I'm so sorry. But this is serious stuff. This is life or death. Imagine if we'd never gone. Imagine if Victoria had never gone to Tulsa and found Two Feather. She'd still be lost right now. She'd still be addicted to drugs right now. She'd still be on her way to hell right now. She's in very dangerous situations. People with knives and stuff. So when you're down on the streets like that, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Well, she's now saved. Amen. Anybody else? Say, I want to commit myself to the Lord. I'm gonna preach the gospel. I'm gonna minister to the sick. Lift up your hand. Anybody here like that? And if you would, just come and we'll lay hands on you right now. Well, I know, but hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. All right. If you can sing something. Between you and the Lord right now, just tell him, Lord, let your fire burn in me. Help me to notice those around me. Help me to go forward with the gospel of Jesus. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Amen. Before we go any further, is anybody here who needs to get saved? Who needs Jesus Christ? Is anybody here? Who's here and you know you're saved and you're going to heaven? Lift up your hand. We'll just do it that way. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. If you don't know, you can know. Amen. Now, I'm going to get a little bit more bold about this. How many of you in the last week, last 7 days, have lived your life in such a way to influence someone for Jesus Christ? Now, I'm saying it that way because maybe you've already shared the gospel with everyone you work with, and now you're just trying to show and prove that what you have is real. Okay? You understand? But how many of you, with the people you work with, or at your neighbors, wherever you're at, you have tried to influence someone for Jesus Christ in the last 7 days? Lift up your hand. All right, wonderful. If your hand's not raised, you should be down here. Amen. You ought to be down here. Hallelujah. So I would encourage you, just come. You know the most miserable people in the world are? Christians who are half-hearted. The most miserable. It's either 100% for Jesus or 100% for the devil. And after you're 100% for the devil and your body gets destroyed for a while, then you can turn around and then come back and give 100% to Jesus. But living in the middle, most people, they're the most miserable people in the world. Amen. 100% for Jesus. 100% for Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. So once again, the call stands. You can come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to invite Victoria to come and help me pray for these people. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these precious, precious people, my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for their hearts, their desire. I thank you that for their hearts to see people come to Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask right now that you would do a supernatural work that only you can do. I can't do it. Only you can do it. I ask you to do this supernatural work in Jesus' name. And I thank you that these people down here who've come forward, I thank you. The grace of God is going to work inside of them, and they're going to see more healing through their hands, through their words, and people coming to Christ, that their light is going to shine. They're going to be impacting. Hallelujah. People's lives are going to be changed because of their testimony, because of the power of God flowing through them. I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.